We are excited to be done with all of our construction, which has been a 2.5 year process. It took that long because we essentially phased it around all of our existing event schedule, which is pretty in-depth. And so the best way for us to move forward with trying to renovate the building without canceling events that we already had on the books and potentially losing those pieces of business to other cities was to phase it. And so we did, you know, the administrative offices in one phase, and then we did the lower level in a phase. We did a big lobby expansion that added new restrooms to the main hall, all of our existing concession stands in a phase. Part of the renovation, we updated all of our plumbing and electrical systems. We put in new audio-visual systems in all of our meeting rooms. And so there's just a lot of new amenities that we're missing that we're excited about.
Talk a little bit about the cost.
The total cost of the project was about $16 million, and that was divided between the SMEA board, is the board that oversees the convention center, issued bonds for $7 million. And in addition to that, we received a $4 million grant from the state of Illinois' Build Illinois Fund, the capital plan, and $5 million from the downtown Springfield TIF district through the city of Springfield. So it was really a great cooperation of entities that it wouldn't have been able to happen with only one of those three participating. And so we put together, again, a total of $16 million. We really tried to focus those dollars on things that we felt would help build convention center business long term, in terms of growth, not only for us but growth for the city's tourism.
And so you just mentioned the board that oversees the Prairie Capital Convention Center. Explain for us how that works.
Yeah, the board that oversees Prairie Capital Convention Center is the Springfield Metropolitan Exposition and Auditorium Authority. We just call them SMEA. And that board has been around, actually, I think the exploratory committee for SMEA was formed around 1963. And that was the group who first went out and tried to look for a location for where a convention center might be and tried to raise funding and those type of things. And then it became an official board that went through the construction process in 1974-75 to build the original building, and then still exists today. And it's an 11-member elected board. It's unique, I think, when, in terms of what I've seen from other cities. Most other cities, the convention center is either part of the city government, or it's sometimes a state entity, or part of a convention and visitors bureau. Springfield's unique because we are a standalone entity. And the best way to describe it is we're almost like our own little city at the convention center. So the governing board there is an 11-member elected board. Half that board is elected every 2 years, and then they appoint their own leadership within that board. So there's a chairman, vice chairman, a secretary, and a treasurer who are appointed within that elected board. You know, they mostly oversee the convention center in terms of, I think financial oversight and giving direction on large decisions, purchasing, those type of things. But in general, I think we really have a great board because they're involved at the right level. And I think that one of the challenges for people who, work for a governing board is that sometimes you can have a board that's too hands off and just does not give any direction. And it can also swing the other way, where you have a board who's too involved and is trying to run the day-to-day operations of a facility, which is what they hire people for. We really have a great board that's a good mix of people who, are free thinkers, and they have good ideas on how we can move the convention center forward. But then they also, when it comes down to doing our job, they let us do our job. And so I feel really fortunate to work for that group. And, it's there's not a lot of politics, if you will, involved. I mean, there's occasionally there are multiple people in the races for the SMEA board. But in general, it's a place where a lot of people sometimes also use as a stepping stone to introduce themselves to the political process and to elections, and then some of them have moved on to city council and other roles after that.
The SJR had an article about the changes that are ahead for the board or taking place. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
I have a great working relationship with all of our board members, and just excited, I think, to see some interest in the community from people who have expressed that they'd like to run for the SMEA board. And so I guess with the next city election, I think 5 or 6 of our board members will be up for election, and I don't know exactly which districts, but I have heard that there are some people who are interested in running, and a couple of members who also have served for, gosh, I think most of my time there for the last, 8 to 10 years. And who have decided that they're either not going to run anymore or they're going to run for other offices. And so, it's always fun to see some fresh faces. And again, with that, hopefully it brings some new ideas and some new energy on ways that we can now move forward post-renovation on some other some other thoughts that we have for continuing to push the building in the right direction.
This is WUIS. I'm Rachel Otwell. I'm joined by Brian Oakes, who heads the Prairie Capital Convention Center. We're talking about changes going on there, renovations that have happened. Now that the renovations are complete, Brian, you're seeing more interest in weddings, right?
Yeah, weddings have been a great addition for the building, and one of the things that we had in mind when we did the renovation of our lower level meeting space, that space traditionally was very, it was good functional meeting space, but it was very bland. And so in the first 10 years that I had been at the building, I think we only had one or maybe two wedding receptions down there, because it was just, the carpeting was old and the finishes were dated. And so while it was good functional space for conventions, it really wasn't typically the quality of room that most weddings are looking for. Since we've done the renovation, we've had a huge increase in the number of people wanting to book weddings at the convention center because the ballroom is really nice now. I mean, it's beautiful. It's very functional. It has great AV. It sets up well for banquets and having a head table and a band and cake tables and all those things that you want to have in a wedding. The room is really functional for that. And so it's been a great addition for us, because what we wanted to do when we were going through this renovation process is to try and build the areas that we're already really busy, which is typically the end of September through, really now the end of June and even a little bit into July. But then when we got into the July, August, and early parts of September, which have traditionally been the slower times for the convention center, we were looking for ways to build business. And one of those ways is to do more wedding receptions and banquets. And we've seen a huge increase. I mean, over the last year and a half since we reopened that lower level, I mean, I'm just going to guess that we've had at least a dozen so far, and we haven't advertised it because we really have very little date availability. So we continue to field calls for that, and people who I think through word of mouth are hearing about how great wedding receptions are at the convention center. So that's a nice new addition for us.
We know that A&E was looking into filming a reality television show at the center. Tell us about why there was interest in that idea.
Sure. I guess I'll tell you what I'm at liberty to talk about, which is the fact that we did have a major television network that came in and wanted to do some filming at the convention center for a possible reality show about the convention industry. And so our staff did a casting. And I think what they found is that we have a really dynamic group of people who work at the convention center that they're hardworking and they're funny. And I think you have to be a unique personality to work in the convention industry, because it's a taxing and unique profession. I think we all love what we do, but we do all of our normal business and kind of that normal, 8 or 9 to 5 like most businesses. But then our actual events happen nights, weekends, holidays, and so you have to have a little bit of crazy in you to work at the convention center and to really enjoy it. And so I think that's what people saw, and I think they thought that what we do is very unique as an industry, and I think that's what generated the interest.
So are you at liberty to say where things stand with plans for that?
Again, I'll tell you what I can is that in April, we hosted a couple of events that were filmed by a major television network, and that was all public information. Now we're waiting to hear whether that filming will go anywhere.
Another slight change at the convention center is that concession prices have gone up a bit, and you said before they were kind of severely underpriced, so tell us just a bit about that.
Yeah, what we did is, we looked at our concessions pricing, which hadn't changed for a long time, and we compared it to not just some larger metros. We looked at the Chicago's and St. Louis's, but we don't really feel like that's our competition or the market that we want to try and match. We don't want to have $9 beers. So what we did is we looked at our competitive sets. We looked at Peoria and Bloomington and Champaign and the iWireless Center and the Quad Cities to try and determine, where their concession pricing was set. And what we were looking for is a balance of trying to be able to, generate revenues for the convention center, so that now that we have this nice renovated building, that we can continually invest into the building so that 20 years from now we're not in the same position where we have a rundown facility. But at the same time, we wanted to be price competitive so that people still want to come to events in Springfield, because you know, you can come without breaking the bank. And so we did raise some of our concession prices that we felt like you know, were too low compared to the market. But I believe on almost everything that we have, we tried to set it below what our competition was at to make sure that we're still the most competitive.
Tell us about some of the upcoming shows that you're particularly looking forward to.
Oh, gosh. We have a Sesame Street coming up at the end of August, which is always fun. Sesame Street doesn't come through a lot. I would say it's probably been 5 years since the last time they've come through. And they do, you know, typically a cycle about like that. We also have Disney coming in November. So those are a couple of really great kid and family events. We're always looking for those opportunities. And the Disney event comes right on the heels of the Ansar Shrine Circus, which is another fantastic event that super, you know, price competitive. It's cheap to bring your family to that. It's a really good circus. And then on the concert side, we just finished a week of on sale with a country star named Lee Bryce, who's an up-and-comer. We had a huge response to the on sale, so it's going to be a really big show. And so we're excited to put that into the mix as well. You know, outside of that, I mean, I think people always ask us, you know, well, you know, what about XYZ artists? You know, why aren't you bringing them? And the answer to that is we're always looking at pretty much every artist who's out on the market. We would love to try and bring to Springfield if we feel like it'll work financially. But what we're running into more and more now is a lack of date availability. So we just don't have many open weekends left. We do have occasionally some Mondays and Tuesdays, which are less likely for concerts to be out touring on those days. But that's where we sometimes are trying to fill in our dates, because we're just getting to the point where there's not many dates left at the convention center's calendar, because we can do so many different events. So we have the conventions, we have the trade shows, we have the, you know, the home and builder show type things. We have family events, we have sporting events, and we have the meetings and banquet space. And so when we go through all those things, there's just not a lot of dates left to try and do concerts, but we try and put them in there wherever we can.